Hello there, I'm Miranda Gretton, and this is Take a Moment with NCHC, the show where we talk to you and your colleagues about experiences that affect you. Listen on your drive between patients or in your downtime, whenever you get the chance to take a moment.
Hello everyone, I'm Carolyn Fowler and I'm Director of Nursing Quality.
So, Carolyn, let's go back to the beginning of your career then. What was your very first job?
Well, I've been in nursing forever. So I went straight from school to be a nurse and do my nurse training. I trained at the Middlesex Hospital, which now literally just has the little chapel left as it's been redeveloped as housing in central London. So I went from school to do that, did a little bit of voluntary work. For me, I've just always just been a nurse, really.
So I'm really interested in that because at school, I had no idea what I wanted to do. And I was sort of pushed and pulled in various directions by other people's opinions of what I should be doing. So what was that? How did you have that real sense of this is where I'm going? What was that? What did that feel like as a child? Was that from a child or was that a teenager? How did that develop?
Yeah, it's interesting. I don't remember not wanting to be a nurse. And it just sort of grew up with me, really. I didn't want to do anything else. I didn't consider anything else. Everyone just accepted that's what I was going to do. There was a time in my life when I thought, why didn't anyone challenge me and said, well, is it a nurse? Is it an AHP? Is it a doctor? Is it teaching? Nobody really did that. They just said, Carolyn's going to be a nurse. Nobody in my family was a nurse. I watched a program that you won't remember called Angels in probably the late 70s, which was I suppose Casualty Today, and I loved it. And my friend and I, my next door neighbour Elizabeth, who also went to be a nurse, we watched that, and we used to watch it in each other's homes. And I think that had an impact on me, scarily. And that was it, really. Off I was. That's all I wanted to do.
But that's great, isn't it, to have a real direction and a purpose to go off into the world and know exactly what you want to be and where you want to go. That must have felt quite reassuring, I guess.
I think you take it for granted, don't you, at that age? It's only when you have your own children and you realise that actually that's a privilege to know exactly what you want to do, and that most people, as you say, don't know what they want to do. I mean, I'm going to share this with you now because it's so exciting. My daughter yesterday was accepted to do an MSc in learning disabilities at Nottingham University. So she's now at 24, decided to train to be a nurse. She always wanted to do something in the caring world, but she didn't really know what. So, yeah, we're all different, aren't we, at the point we find the right thing, if we ever do. So I feel very lucky.
When you went into your training, then you mentioned about, you know, why did nobody challenge you beforehand? But when you went into your training to be a nurse, did you ever see any other paths that you might want to delve down? Or was it still absolutely nursing, you know, dead on?
I didn't see anything as far as I can remember. And it's a long time ago, and I don't think we talked about careers in the way we do now and testing things out. And probably knowing me, I was probably pretty single-minded in that that's what I wanted to do. And probably, to be fair, nobody was going to sort of challenge that. And I didn't think about different types of nursing. I just went and did my adult nursing. I think over the years, I have really enjoyed working with learning disability nurses, and think that's an area that perhaps I might have also liked to have worked in. Don't regret what I've done at all. Maybe I, halfway through my career, I could see that I would have perhaps liked to do that as well. I've dabbled in lots of things. So really excited that for whatever reason, my daughter's chosen that particular route, to be honest.
Yeah, that's really interesting. I wonder whether maybe you've talked about it as being a possible option in the past without really knowing. We must influence people in so many ways, mustn't we, I suppose?
I think we do. And when I worked in acute trust, I ran a project where we had people from a local learning disability gardening group come and work in the grounds of the hospital. And we invited sick formers to come and work with them. And my daughter was lucky enough to be one of those. And she found it a really an interesting and overwhelming experience because she'd never really spoken or talked to people with learning disabilities. So I'm hoping somewhere that that might have not just supported her, but supported others. It was all about helping, you know, people with disabilities engage with society. And so, yeah, I think little things like that might make a difference.
What's been one of the most difficult things you've had to deal with in your career, do you think?
Gosh, that's a big question. I've done lots of different things. And the things that are difficult, patients, really, often it's cultures. So I think when you've been a nurse for as long as I have, you've worked in different cultures where values are different. And I think when you live your values and they're so important to you, one of the most difficult thing for me, and I wouldn't go into any details, is working in an environment where the values aren't the same and I can see poor behaviours and really struggling to influence those and feeling at a loss to know what to do. So that's really, really hard. I think the other thing is, I mean, probably something through the pandemic that I have found impossible is trying to manage how people feel about visiting, how it must be for families not to be together when someone's dying or significant illness has happened, and realizing actually I'm making some of these decisions, I'm influencing this, and listening, as I have done, to relatives who phone me to just say, please, can you do something different? That's been one of the hardest things, I think, probably of my whole career, just managing those conversations. And the staff have found it so hard. And that's not why you come into a caring role, to pull people apart when they most need each other. So, yeah, there's probably, the top of my head, a couple of things that I have found difficult.
That's really interesting, isn't it? Because when you go into a caring profession, like if you're a nurse and you're doing your nursing, you're very hands-on and you're dealing with that on a daily basis. But going into a leadership role, as you have to come up into director of nursing, you're now dealing with an extra layer, which is to manage them, to manage their feelings and their experience, as well as your own. So how have you found that, you know, being a leader and kind of looking after everybody? You know, that must be quite a big thing.
It is a big thing. And you have to stop sometimes and think, am I too involved? Because actually you can't do it all. And I think, you know, we have our own preferences, and my preference is, you know, I'm a nurse. I want to make it all better and I want to help people. I want to reach out to every member of staff in NCHNC, but I find that really difficult. I can't. So often you look at the people you haven't connected with, the people you don't know, the stories you hear, and think, gosh, could I have made a difference? And realise you can't do it all. But that is difficult. If you, you know, we're all caring. I think the values at NCHNC, one of the reasons I came here is I think they're real and genuine. And when you sometimes feel, actually, I haven't reached out to that person, that team are struggling. Oh, gosh, there's another team I've heard of had a really difficult time, especially around, you know, this winter staffing. And I really want to go and hear it firsthand from them. And I try and do that. I find it difficult. I can't be everywhere and be visible to everybody. But I also know that's not what I'm here. I can't do that because then I wouldn't be able to be leading strategically. But I do use all that intelligence to help make decisions about what we do next. And everything everyone says to me, I store it away and I take it with me and I think, right, what can we do differently with that gem that somebody's given me? And they are gems, little things that people say to me as I pass them on a ward, you know, why they're leaving because of, one HCA said to me, I love it here, but actually, I really need a bit of career progression, and you can get that in an acute in a different way. So we've taken that conversation and we're really looking at how we can do things differently, always asking questions and always being curious. But you could do that forever. Where do you stop?
Absolutely. And the takeaway from that is that people shouldn't be afraid to come and say those things to you, that, you know, you absolutely welcome those. But at the same time, it's about managing the volume of those and where that goes and making sure that something's done with it, because we all want our voice to be heard. But then it's important that something happens as a result. You've just appointed a deputy director of nursing in Del Mitchell, which is a fantastic opportunity. But also, how is that going to shape your role and you know, how you then manage that listening of our staff moving forward?
You know, his appointment is going to make a real difference. It's going to not only allow me to have a proper deputy, really be able to do what I'm asking everyone else to do, which is to take time out and really think carefully about your own well-being and stopping. So that helps me. It also means that I will be able to work more strategically with the system, with the other chief nurses, and really look at some of the wicked problems that we need to do, but also how we're going to lead quality in the next 5 years. What are we going to be doing? What's important? But also, I think it allows me to possibly, I really hope, even do more of what I love doing, which is actually to be out with the staff listening. Because that's, I mean, I make sure that every week, a Thursday normally, I'm out somewhere seeing somebody, talking to somebody, hearing how it really is. And I ask all my quality clinical directors and quality matrons to do the same, and they do, and they want to do that. And I think we mustn't lose sight of the importance of visibility. So in a way, I'm hoping that will allow me to be perhaps out and about a little bit more as well. So yeah, and I think just going back to what you said before, I love people telling me the truth about how it is. And that's the only way that we can make a difference and change things, is to really know. And people come to you, but they also come with ideas. So that's just as great. But what's important, I think, as leaders, is we then do exactly what you said. What do we do with that? Because it's sometimes easy to sit and listen, but actually it is the actions we take and the changes that we make that are really important.
Do you think sometimes it's a bit scary for people to come and talk about pressure points and issues particularly? I mean, the ideas, absolutely. I think we have so many staff with brilliant ideas in the trust, and those are great to come forward with. But if there's a pinch point and there's something that's really stressing people out and they want to acknowledge it, but if it maybe is to do with a person or a team, you know, maybe people think, well, it's best I wouldn't say anything because I don't want to rock the boat. I don't want to upset anybody. I don't want to get anyone into trouble. How do we manage those conversations? Because obviously that is still a big thing. And again, it's a cultural thing, and there are pockets being so geographically spread out, having such a diverse workforce. We're going to have those pockets. We can't get away from it. So how do we manage that?
Yes, I think it's easy for me to sit here and say, well, I think I'm approachable and please come and talk to me and talk to your line manager. But actually, I do know, you know, and we can look at all the data in the staff survey as well. We do know that not everybody feels confident about speaking out. And it might not be big things. Sometimes it's the little things that are important, or they have raised a problem and nothing's happened, and they keep raising problem, and it's just somehow got stuck, and it might be an easy thing. So, I mean, all I can say, and anyone sort of listening to this, I always say, talk to your line manager in your team if you can. That's the best thing to do, because often line managers don't actually know. Unless you tell them, they don't know. And we have to remember, probably everything we do will go back to the safety of the patient. So we are advocates for our patients, whether we are clinical, non-clinical, corporate, whoever we are, we're here for the safety of patients. So everything you do to make a working environment better for you and your team, to shout out when something's not quite right, will have an impact, I can guarantee, along the line to patients. And that's what I think about. That's why I feel I've got braver and braver over the years. And now I think, why wouldn't I? Why wouldn't I say something? But I know that's easier said than done. And when I do go out and talk to teams, I try and ask the questions that maybe help them articulate. I don't just look for the good stuff. I had a meeting with a team recently, and we did all the, so what are you proud of? And they were brilliant. And then I said, okay, now what's the things that really irritate you? What are the things that frustrate you? And what are the things that keep you up at night? And what are the things you don't think you can tell anyone else? And if you can't tell me now, drop me a line, you know? So it's just, let's just listen, you know, really listen. And then it's the action.
And if, like you say, if people don't feel comfortable saying it to you in person, there's always other ways. There's Freedom to Speak Up Guardians. There's other channels in the trust, isn't there, that people can go to?
Absolutely. And I think also I would say around the Freedom to Speak Up Guardian, because I'm a real advocate of that, is don't think you've got to have something big to take. If it's just something you can't say to someone else, quite often just raising it and talking it through. I know that Nick, as a guardian, quite often, many people he speaks to, that's it. He has a conversation and it allows them to say what they're worried about, formulate their own plan, and actually go and tackle it themselves. So it's not about big things. It doesn't have to be. Of course, it's there for any real safety issues. But if something isn't working, you've tried every other way, just go and talk to the Speak Up Guardian, because it is completely confidential. You know, when he talks to me, he talks in code. So I know what the themes are. I might know where some of the problems might be. I don't know who's talking or speaking. It's absolutely confidential. And that's so important. And we need that. We absolutely need that. And people do. I mean, I get quite a lot of emails from individual people just saying, you know, I know you're busy, which is what everyone says to me. And I think you said it to me, Miranda, but actually I am no different to anyone else. We are all busy. don't think that I'm any busier than anyone else. So I've always got time. But what I always would say is, have you tried talking to your line manager and people around you first? And then what can I do that's going to be different and I can help you? But people do. And sometimes what I do ask people to do is tell me when things have gone well. And I get all sorts of people emailing me now saying, oh, this happened last week and this nurse was amazing. And the GP made a comment about best district nurse he'd ever worked with. So it allows me to contact that district nurse and say, wow, I've just had this feedback. So it's not just about when things go wrong. It's please tell me all the great things that are going right. I want to know.
I just wanted to finish off with, you said we're all busy and you're just like everybody else, but I know that you do a huge amount, and so how would you deal with a particularly challenging day? How do you unwind?
So I like running. At the moment I live in the north of Norfolk and in a beautiful countryside area, and I just love being outside. So I think that walk down the lane and listening to the birds tweet, I take my dog out, which I love, and I phone my family, my husband and I go for walks. So I'm quite simple, really, in what I like. I like a little bit of culture. So I like to get to the theatre. I went to the opera on Saturday in Norwich. Norwich has loads to offer. It really, really does. I absolutely love Norwich. I think Norfolk has it all, to be honest. So really love living in Norfolk. So, yeah, and friends. I think friends are really important. And that's what we miss a lot through the pandemic, that just sitting down, whatever, might be with a coffee or might be a glass of wine, and just having that chat and unwinding. So I do that. I can do that. I do work hard. I work hard because I love it and I really love working, but I can completely, and I do, switch off. I know my teams will get me if they need me, but they don't need me because they're all brilliant at what they do. So I think I've got, really good balance.
Thank you for listening to Take a Moment with NCHC. If you've enjoyed this podcast, please visit the podcast intranet page to leave a comment and for details of our other episodes. You can also follow NCHC on all social media channels.